Hey everybody, welcome to the Bike Portland podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Maas. Before we get started with this episode, I want to remind everybody what the heck is going on here. Bike Portland is community-supported media. We are not a nonprofit. This is a private company, and our product is to create information that informs and inspires the community. If you've been around Bike Portland, you know we don't have a lot of advertising from businesses, and we don't run a bunch of really any third-party annoying flashing banners and ads from Google and those sort of folks. Instead, I rely on support from people like you, people who listen to the podcast, people who watch our videos on social media, who enjoy our content every day, love reading the stories that we do, people who love going to happy hour, all that sort of thing. So if that's you and you're not yet a paid subscriber, I would really love to have your support. You can find out how to support Bike Portland either through a paid monthly subscription or a one-time contribution, whatever you'd like, at bikeportland.org/support. Please step up and become a supporter today. Tell your friends to join you. And don't forget that this is community journalism. That means it needs community to survive. That means it needs you. Thank you. So welcome everybody into the shed. I'm excited today to have with me Linda English, who is, I believe, one of the founders of Dirty Free Hub, the main creator of Dirty Free Hub, which is an amazing resource full of excellent routes and information about where you can ride all through Oregon and beyond. And so, Linda, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what exactly is Dirty Free Hub?
Well, Dirty Free Hub is all about how do we get cyclists out riding in places that I think that they would never go to, specifically gravel cyclists. So we have over 300 ride guides across the Western United States and Tasmania. And these ride guides contain the route. They contain a lot of information about, you know, elevation, distance, and where to park. But they also contain a lot of education in them, because one of our social missions, because we're a nonprofit, is that we really want cyclists both to be able to pick the right route for them, so they know what they're getting into. So there's videos, there's pictures, but we also want them to really learn about that area. So if you're riding out in Camp Sherman, which is near Sisters, Oregon, and you go by the stream and there's salmon in that stream, like, how did they come back? You know, what's the story behind that? So we'll include environmental stories. We might include art. We have Poke the Bear, which is out of Madras. And there's this huge statue of a bear where we went out and did a podcast on with the artist. And so it's really so much more than just about getting you out there to ride. It's almost feels like a bait and switch where we get you to ride and then we want to educate you.
Right. And you're from, or it's based in Oregon, right? Is it Sisters or Bend, or where are you actually based?
Correct. Yeah. Now our hometown is Bend, Oregon. And so we started here, but right now we're spending a lot of time out on the coast. We've spent a lot of time out in Eastern Oregon, Willamette Valley, Mid River.
Cool.
Et cetera, et cetera.
So take me back to the beginning as somebody who, you know, I've also sort of devoted myself to building an online resource, you know, as my career. Mm-hmm. I have so much respect for what you've done with Dirty Free Hub, but I'd love to know, going back to the beginning, what was the impetus for starting it? What was the inspiration? How did it get started?
Well, I was a road cyclist, and my husband was a mountain biker, and he busted himself up, Kevin, and in Moab, pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, well, we could take Kevin and make him a support person in cycling, right? Of course, because he was bored. He was all busted up. So we're out riding in the Ochocos out by Prineville. And he's like, why are these guys riding the paved roads? They should be riding these gravel roads because they're much safer. And he was right. So he went out and he bought two gravel bikes. And this was like 12 years ago before it was even a thing. And that's how I got to be known as Gravel Girl, because mm-hmm. I was the only one that rode gravel. And so we started riding gravel. Well, as we started riding gravel, the more and more we got into it, the more and more we realized the challenge was where were the great places to ride? So, you know, we would go out and we would map out a ride. It would be excellent. And so we started sharing these routes. And people were just like, oh, this is great, because we could get them to drive out to the middle of nowhere, park the car, and go for, you know, a mile ride. Okay. And it's a scary thing. You know, you're like, you got to really trust these people. And there was good routes and there was really bad routes. And we started figuring out that communicating what were the really great routes was really the key thing.
Cool.
So that's how it all got started.
Yeah, I love it. You mentioned 12 years, and that jives with what I was thinking too. I was looking at Bike Portland's coverage, and I think the first time we really kind of like named gravel as a thing and explained it to readers was 2013, so about 11 years ago. And I like what you said about, you know, giving people, just telling them where to go, because I've often described when I used to describe what gravel is to people. Now everybody knows when you say gravel kind of what it is. But 10 years or so ago, before that was the case, I remember having to describe it to people. And their eyes would light up when I would basically say, imagine looking at your map of routes, like the places where you're thinking of doing a ride, whether, you know, the road rides or the mountain bike rides. And then I was like, lay out a whole new map with a whole new layer of routes over that, of all the unpaved roads, all the farm roads, all the logging and timber roads, and then that's gravel. That's like, right? So it's just been such an amazing transformation as people have understood that, been avail themselves to resources like yours. I wonder, I'd love to hear from you, since you've been around, since it really got to be a big thing in Oregon. Can you describe what the last 10 years of growth in gravel riding has looked at, or what you've noticed from your perspective?
Well, I think it's really funny because in the beginning, people thought we were absolutely insane. They're like, what? You're not road cyclists? Or what? You're not mountain bikers? So mountain bikers were like, that looks really boring. The road cyclists thought, you know, that looks really dangerous. The reality is, for me, gravel cycling is so cool, specifically in Oregon, because as you were saying, we have a million logging roads. We have farm roads. We have so many quiet roads. We're out on the coast right now. We're doing a lot of development out there. And it just cracks me up because here these signs are that say, you know, ride down 101. I'm thinking, there's no way I would get on 101. That just scares me looking at it, right? And yet, you know, we can go out into these logging roads and just go out there, and it's so much fun, and ride next to each other and chat. So that was a big thing for me coming out of road cycling, is I didn't realize, like, in gravel, I can even talk more to my friends when they're next to me because we're down these really quiet roads that nobody's on, right? So we're not even having to pay attention to traffic anymore. And in mountain biking, for me, it was always a problem because I could never talk to anybody in mountain biking.
Right.
We're single track, so it's really hard. So what have I really seen in the last, you know, 12 years? It's just been this explosion. We can go into tiny little places like Paisley, Oregon, and create ride guides out there. And the next thing you know, there's people out there and they're just loving it. And the town loves it too, because it's, you know, economic development. It's what we call drip tourism, where instead of having, you know, 200 or 300 people show up to an event, which is really stressful for a really small town, we can just sort of run people through there. So that's the other part of what we've seen, is just the sort of evolution of not only the cyclists understanding how cool gravel is, but of the locals understanding it in these small towns of going, wow, this is really fabulous, and getting to know us.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, tourism, and I was going to ask you, I saw that you have a new project you're working on called All Access, and you're working with Travel Oregon. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a really cool project. What we're excited about is we started looking at routes across Oregon. Any organization that did routes, most of them were 40 miles and plus. With a lot of elevation, single track included, really rough. They weren't really good entry-level routes. And so we went to our pals over at Travel Oregon and we said, look, we need something that is for the entry-level cyclist. We need something that's for the adaptive athlete. We need routes that are for e-bikers. We need routes that are for... So we created this whole new category for us called All Access, and it's tough to find them. Actually, it's way harder to find an All Access route than it is to find a regular route, because we want them to be less than 25 miles. We want them to, you know, have a really low elevation gain ratio. We can't have, you know, a 12% grade in the middle of it and say, oh, there we go, or a gate that's really tricky to get around. So that's what we're working with Travel Oregon. And we're actually going to create a physical paper guide that will include all of our routes, as well as all of our routes will be on our website for everybody to access. So we're super excited about working on a very, very different approach for cycling for us.
Wow, neat. So a printed guide possibly. Okay, so, and you mentioned your website, so it's a perfect opportunity for me to ask, could you take us through, like, if you were looking at your website? I want people to kind of get a sense for what happens on Dirty Free Hub. So let's say I just hopped onto the homepage. What am I going to see, and kind of like just take me on a little tour of the website?
First off, we always have a featured route, so because that's just our way of promoting one specific route with a cool picture, because that's fun. A lot of eye candy. But then you go into, you can do a lot of searching in a lot of different categories. You can search by distance. You can start, just click on a state and say, I want to look at everything in Oregon, zoom in, zoom out. And then you'll click on a ride guide. And the ride guide has just an enormous amount of information. It will have everything from the distance, like I said, the distance, the map of it, the GPX file that you can download. We will have, you know, we really believe in buy local. So we're always looking for some cool place for you to eat or drink or stay or, you know, do something to do in the town afterwards or where you're riding. And then these podcasts that I talked about, we will put podcasts that are everything from, right now we're working on ones that is with a logger to talk about specifically what it's like to be in a logging truck and driving down a road and have cyclists on your road, which is terrifying for them. We did that with some farmers out in Joseph. I think that's really cool to get cyclists to be a little bit more compassionate. We're really interested in how to break down that rural-urban divide. There could be podcasts on all sorts of crazy things. We're working on a podcast right now about the sand dunes in Florence because we're going to work on a route called Honeyman.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come out of Honeyman State Park. Yeah.
Cool.
It goes way up into the hills and up to the logging roads around Florence. So that's sort of what a route typically looks like for us.
I love that. It's like this 4D immersive, like you could have the Dirty Free Hub route on your little GPS unit or whatever. You could have your earphones in, maybe listening to the podcast. You could be actually navigating the route in real time. So you get this like multi-level experience with what you've created. I really like that. So how many routes are on the site at this point?
Well, we have about 300. We are very Oregon heavy. I would say we have about 200 in Oregon. And so that includes our development routes. So we do have a category called development routes. When we're working on a route, and we will say, okay, we would need some help. And we'll send that out to the community. We put on in the ride guide that, hey, look, we're pretty sure this goes. We've got some pretty good beta. Well, is this really going to make our 5 stars? Because we're really picky. Like if a route is just the same thing for 40 miles, that's not going to make it in our group. So, you know, when we're developing a route, it takes a lot of effort. You know, you're trying to find the right place to start. Oh, we could really like to skip that 20 miles down a highway. How do we not, you know, how do we get around that? How do we include points of interest? We might route you up through a really cool historic cemetery if there's a really good viewpoint. We also really like to change surfaces in our routes. So if, like I said, if you're doing the same thing for 40 miles and that's not that interesting, but how can we change it up? So maybe you're on a little bit of single track here, pop onto pavement here. We love, love, love to climb gravel and descend on pavement because it's ripping fun. Nothing more fun than, you know, you can climb in for 4,000 feet and then you just bomb down. Like at Oak Ridge is great for that. You can just, there's so many times in Oak Ridge when you can go up pavement and then, I mean, go up gravel and then come blasting back down on the pavement. Super fun.
It sounds like a lot of work to put all those routes together and maintain the website. And I was happy recently you did a job listing actually on Bike Portland. So you're actually looking to hire someone to help you with these routes. What's going on with that?
Yeah, we are actually working with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. And they are great. They want long, short, and medium routes all up and down the coast. So we've been, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, that's going to be hard for us to right now with our current staffing to get all of these routes in. So we've been looking for people to work with us that are content developers. And that's about going out, riding the route. And then the majority of it is about writing about. So finding the points of interest, taking the pictures, dealing with the pictures, the video, all of that. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine. What is your favorite place to ride in Oregon?
Oh, that's an impossible question. I could spend so much time saying like, okay, well, I really like Baker City. That's a wonderful place. I love riding out of Joseph. Okay, now let's go over to Hood River. Now let's go to the coast. I would say one of my secret places that I love to ride that people don't think enough about is Madras, Oregon. Actually has phenomenally great riding out of there.
Cool.
And it's so funny because for years when I lived in Bend for a long time, we just drive right through Madras. It was like on the way to Portland, you know, I don't really think much about it. But you get out on some of these roads out there and it's stunning. It's just so quiet. Crickets out there. It's really, really fun.
Love it. Sounds so, so good. What about people that are listening to this or watching this and they're from Portland? Can you think of any routes that are relatively close to Portland?
Yeah. I really like riding Yamhill. We have a Yamhill loop out there that I think is spectacular. And then I think Hood River is super close for you. So there's some really great climbing routes out of Hood River as well that I like.
So the routes have to go through some sort of vetting, right? So any route that someone finds on Dirty Free Hub, it's been through the process of being verified, and they can pretty much assume that they may not love it personally, but it's going to meet your requirements as being a good route, right? And tell me a little bit about the criteria of that.
Correct. We're very, very picky. We have this 5-star criteria, which is listed on our website. And you're right. It doesn't mean that route is for everybody. We have some routes down in Arizona that are wickedly tough. And every now and then somebody writes and goes, I don't even think that's gravel. I'm like, well, there's somebody out there that really loves that route. So what we look at is, did the description of the route map to the route? So if it didn't, then that's a problem. But in terms of the 5 stars, like, we look for points of interest. Is it beautiful? Is it quiet? All of those things that, you know, at the end of the day, I always say, if you weren't willing to drive about 2 hours to do that route, then that's not a 5-star route. Like, we really look at that and say, wow, you know, that is worth that drive. That is such a beautiful place. That is such an amazing route. That story behind it was incredible. That's what we're looking for.
Cool. And it's good timing now for folks to start thinking about these routes, because we've had a recent little taste of sunshine and warmth here in Portland. And I know people are starting to really plan their riding season. Is there anything else? Is there anything coming up this year? You mentioned your project with Oregon Coast Visitors Alliance, which sounds really exciting. Anything else about the coming year that you're especially excited about?
Like you, I'm super excited about getting out and riding. I look at the routes that we have across the entire state. There's so much riding that can be done. For me, it's just about getting out there and riding. That's what it's really about.
I mean, speaking of you, and maybe I should have put this at the start, but what did you do as your job before this? I mean, what was Linda English doing before you started doing Dirty Free Hub so much? I'm just curious.
Oh, I came out of the evil tech industry, and then I've founded other nonprofits that had to do with totally nothing to do with cycling. And so I got suckered into, hey, cycling, this would be a great nonprofit, which is really, really fun.
And were you always a bicycle rider like your whole life, or is this something you came to later in life, or what?
I'm a broken runner. So like many road cyclists, we started out as runners. We ran for a long time, kept getting injured, decided, hey, cycling looks fun. Took up cycling and then took up road cycling and then moved into gravel. So I think that's a pretty common, if you interview a lot of gravel cyclists, I think that's a pretty common story, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you're able to share more about Dirty Free Hub with us. Is there anything that you wanted to mention to folks that we haven't talked about yet?
Sure. There's a couple of ways that people can be involved in Dirty Free Hub. One is that if, we have development routes, we're always looking for feedback on all of our routes or all of our ride guides as well. So we will post a development route out there. And if you know anything about it, it really does help us. If somebody says, oh my gosh, that was horrible. Oh my gosh, that was great. Whatever it is, that beta is super important for us because it means that we're not going to go out and ride something that doesn't even go through. Because sometimes that happens all the time, especially in Oregon with the logging roads. The second thing is that when you do use one of our 5-star ride guides, is to, again, post information, say, whether you liked it, whether you didn't, There are some times where recently we had a route where somebody was saying, you know, this is so much harder than I thought. I went in, I looked at our description, I changed the description based off of their comments. Their comments are there, also there for everybody else to see. So that's really important to, for us to be part of that of our community. And then the third thing is, which is just a shameless plug, if you run a nonprofit, you're always looking for donations. We do absolutely appreciate when people donate. Even if it's a small amount of money, that really matters to organizations like Oregon Coast Visitors Association or Travel Oregon, both of them. They care. They want to see that our community is involved with us. So those are a couple of different ways that you can definitely be involved. And to go to our website, we are just www.dirtyfreehub.org. And please reach out to me on, we have an email address on our site, which you can always goes directly to me, and I am happy to, you know, listen to some of your questions or suggestions on how we can make the site even better for our gravel community.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for all your work on Dirty Free Hub. I know so many people benefit from that, and thanks for sharing it with me here today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for what you do too, Jonathan. It's really important that you really do pull together the Portland community bike scene. So that's wonderful as well. I know it's a labor of love.
Right.
I'm sure it's not what pays all of your bills. So.
Well, thanks, Linda. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
That was Linda English, the founder of Dirty Free Hub. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please make sure to subscribe and leave a comment and tell your friends about it, and make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Really appreciate all of your support. If you are not a paid subscriber of Bike Portland yet, please become one today at bikeportland.org/support and find out how you can be a part of what we're doing here and pay a little bit in to keep it thriving and surviving. I also want to thank Brock Dittus of Sprocket Podcast fame for our wonderful new theme music. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the streets.